and welcome to the UniSA Study Room podcast, the podcast created by students for students. I'm your host, Liliana, and in this season, I'll be joined with interviewers Shazza, Carly, and Natalie. Together, we'll be delving deeper into uni life, and in this particular episode, we'll be answering student questions with professional perspectives on academic integrity and the unknown grey area in between. Talking to UniSA staff, we uncover the hidden truths behind the academic integrity process. What happens if you get caught for plagiarism or academic misconduct? This is an alert to all uni students. Hold on to your headphones and your overpriced coffee. You are now entering the study room.
All right, so in this season of the Study Room podcast, we talked about group work and artificial intelligence in our first and second episodes with students. And in this particular episode, we're going to be talking about academic integrity with the professionals.
Ooh, that's staff members from UniSA.
They are.
That's exciting. So we'll be chatting with AIOs. Can you tell me what that stands for?
Yeah, so AIOs stand for Academic Integrity Officers, and when you hear the word officers, you get intimidated by them.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary.
There's this fear of, what did I do wrong that probably would make me have to go to the office?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a principal's office, getting called into the principal's office.
It is. So in this particular episode, we would be debunking misconceptions about AIOs, especially the academic integrity process.
Exactly. I mean, they were once students as well. And we're kind of
putting
a more of a human eye on what they really do as part of their job.
Definitely.
So let's see what they have to say.
Hi, my name is Natalie, and I have here with me today for this episode, Beck and Tamara. Can you give our listeners a brief introduction about yourself? Do you want to start off first, Beck?
Yeah, sure. I'm an online course facilitator with UniSA Online, and I work in the criminal justice space.
I'm Tamara Open, and I'm a senior lecturer. I work in the Education Futures Unit, but specifically for UniSA College.
So, jumping straight into our content for today, one thing about academic integrity officers in the students' perspectives, I would say, is that there's someone who's strict, and a little scary because you're facing academic breaches, but I do understand that this is a common misconception around academic integrity officers.
Given that we've met you and Beck today, who are really friendly.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is there anything about being an academic integrity officer that you would want students to know about?
Yeah, we try to correct that misconception because I think whenever anyone sort of mentions the phrase academic integrity, there's this automatic fear that, what have I done wrong? Or, you know, we're going into the territory of misconduct and punitive measures. But if anything, I'd like to assure students that as part of our training and as part of a key emphasis of our role is to provide educative counselling. And really that is what I personally feel is the core job of any academic integrity officer is to maintain that educative approach, talk through any cases with students and help them to understand what perhaps may have gone wrong or how an action might be corrected. So yes, I'd just like to put that message out to all students that we are certainly very approachable people, and we've dealt with, you know, been referred many cases and it really is a matter of having that conversation with students. I personally don't like the word investigation, and if anything, I try to avoid that with students if I'm inviting them into for an academic integrity interview or investigation. I try to frame it more like, would you like to come in and have a chat with me? I'd really like to have a conversation with you about, to help me understand how you produced this piece of work.
How would you describe the process of meeting with an AIO?
First of all, because I'm also a teacher in different courses, I would never review academic integrity matters of my own students. And that's to ensure that when we're reviewing students' work, that we're looking at it impartially, independently, and that's really important.
So for me, it's very much an educative meeting whereby we're just trying to show the students. And often I'll have my laptop in the meeting and I might show them some examples of how to paraphrase or how to apply referencing. So it's just making sure that the students are at ease and we're identifying how we can support that student.
Would you say that this process is much more of like an encouragement for students to know that them meeting an AIO is a non-biased opportunity for them to prove themselves, let's say if they haven't conducted any breaches?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, yeah, as I was saying before, we like to give the student that opportunity to, mm-hmm. to show us, you know, please help us understand how you've arrived at this piece of work.
What about you, Beck?
And perhaps if I can just draw us back to the very beginning when a paper is referred, mm-hmm. I'd really love students just to be mindful that we were all students once too.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that there's some level of anxiety around mm-hmm. academic integrity matters. It can be fairly serious mm-hmm. for students that are coming in and they're just returning to study, perhaps after a long spell out, or there's new systems, new standards that they're getting used to. The conversation that they'll have with academic integrity officers is educative.
Yeah, I think the misconception that we touched on before is that it's very much a punitive process. I don't want ever the students to think that a decision is made from the very beginning and they don't have any right to, mm-hmm. to explain themselves. And I think that is something that I want all students to know, that they have that ability to go forward and take that autonomy in explaining to the AIO, this is the work I've done, this is the process I undertook to mm-hmm. arrive at that piece of work. So I think for us as well, it's about keeping that conversation open and transparent. It should be a partnership is what I guess what I'm trying to say. It mm-hmm. should be this collaborative partnership between the students, the teachers and the academic integrity officer. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, students come away from that process and away from that interaction thinking, yay, I feel more confident now in how to prepare a submission that is academically mm-hmm. rigorous.
So it's actually not as scary as these misconceptions make it sound like it is. I would say that the process of meeting with AIOs is actually educative and positive.
Very much so, but it's always, I'm speaking from my own experience, it's always a good experience for both myself and for the students.
Yeah.
It is serious in the sense that your work is being scrutinised mm-hmm. for integrity purposes.
Yeah.
And I'm confident that most students appreciate that level of seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the interaction, it is reasonably informal. You don't need to be frightened. It is a conversation, and if there's something that you've done, whether it's unwitting or mm-hmm. even if it's deliberate, obviously the best policy is always honesty. Just say.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the review. Mm-hmm. We are trying to understand what's going on.
Moving on, how do we define a minor breach and a major breach?
I would consider a minor breach to be unwitting lack of references
mm-hmm.
or even just incorrect format. So they're considered minor breaches, but mm-hmm. copying from other students, taking slabs of stuff and passing them off as your own without referencing would be a more serious breach.
I think.
Oh, sorry, one more.
Yeah.
Third-party contract. Yeah.
Oh,
so when students pay someone else or not even pay, just get someone else mm-hmm. to write their assessment, there may be penalties applied. And those penalties can range from a reduction in marks. And this is probably something to be mindful of. It's not an opportunity to resubmit your work.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity just to correct the things that need corrections.
Yeah.
And those corrections are things like missing references or some better paraphrasing, mm-hmm. you know. So submit a corrected version, perhaps a penalty, and worst case scenario, zero for the assessment.
Does it appear on our academic transcripts?
It's important for students to know that if they are called in for an academic integrity interview mm-hmm. and it's been established that misconduct mm-hmm. has occurred, that misconduct, that case, will not be recorded on their academic transcript,
mm-hmm.
okay? What we do as AIOs, we have a database, which is our way of recording data and mm-hmm. cases. So for us, it's always important to look at whether there may have been any past breaches of mm-hmm. academic conduct. And in that case, it gives us an understanding more so about the learnt, if behaviour continues and whether they have learnt from the process. Mm-hmm. So if, let's just say, I've interviewed a student, or, you know, another academic integrity down the officer down the track has interviewed a student a third or a fourth time, mm-hmm. then yes, perhaps then the outcome determined for that case might be much more serious than
the first time.
The first time, because it's showing to us that there's a pattern of behaviour.
Yeah.
And I think there's always that consideration around a student's personal life as well.
Yeah, so just through my experience, students who are under pressure mm-hmm. and are juggling perhaps illness or caring for family members. So time is, you know, one of our most precious resources. Yeah. And I find that students who are really struggling with maintaining a study commitment are mm-hmm. At risk of taking the easy path and either copying someone else's paper or whatever the case may be.
Going back to that misconception that, you know, we're trying to police students, that's not the case. We actually are people who, we're human beings, and mm-hmm. we understand that students are very time poor. There's a lot going on. I'm well aware that there's a lot of challenges, a lot of stresses mm-hmm. put on students who are not native English speakers.
Yeah.
And so we often, they're the type of contextual factors that we need to consider when we're determining an outcome as well.
Yeah.
To work out, was there intent? What was the motivation behind the misconduct, or was it non-intentional?
In the first and second episodes of this season's podcast, we had a chat with four other students on topics that surround working with peers and artificial intelligence. And I'm sure many challenges involving academic integrity arise with group work. How can students maintain integrity in these situations?
I do know, having been a student obviously in the past, that at times you can feel like you're doing the heavy lifting and other students are not doing the heavy lifting or not contributing mm-hmm. in a way that they should. I would think that that is not necessarily academic integrity, but it's a problem. And you should turn to your supervisors, your tutors for guidance mm-hmm. on those aspects. I guess the main issue is that group work is developing your skills in working with a group in industry, and this will come up where people in your workplace are not doing anything and you're doing all of the work, or they're doing something that is not according to policy and procedure mm-hmm. and you know about that. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Yeah.
In those instances in the workplace, you would raise it with your manager
mm-hmm.
and you would do exactly the same with your teachers mm-hmm. in the context of a university.
It's really the same concept when we look at group work with our students. Before they even engage in that work, we need to set those expectations
mm-hmm.
around who's doing what and how the workload will be distributed. And I find that when it does come to that, if there are academic integrity concerns, it's often relating to one student. You know, it might be that one student puts their name on a piece of work which they didn't really do at all.
Yeah.
It came down to their group members doing most of the work. Or it might be, I mean, you know, students sometimes they work in groups in the library and it's more like a study group type of
mm-hmm.
thing. And then, you know, when it comes to producing the final piece, it's, you know, you can see collusion.
Do you have any advice on how students can work and assist each other better in groups?
My advice to any students, I mean, again, it comes down to what the instructor's asking, but I would say if you're involved in group work then and you're concerned about whether your name is going to be properly acknowledged, then my advice would be, okay, well, I did this or mm-hmm. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the teacher has a role here to be very explicit about mm-hmm. how every student's work is acknowledged.
Would everyone in a group be penalised if there's one student who conducts an academic breach? Would the whole group be affected by it?
I think it's up to the AIO to understand what the task instructions are, what the students were tasked with in terms of how each student goes about the role of the group, whether they're working collaboratively or whether they're each person in that group has a role. I do remember interviewing quite a few students who had formed a study group. So they weren't in fact tasked with working in a group per se, but they had formed their own study groups mm-hmm. to help them. And they genuinely felt like they were doing the right thing. And they provided me with their notes, and they provided me with them. You know, students, yeah, sometimes they come together in groups and they create their own little flashcard. They help each other in that way. And we can see that the intention to breach conduct is not there. Yeah. You know, it was completely inadvertent, but it's sometimes it's making that grey area, mm-hmm, navigating that grey area in terms of, you know, okay, I don't think I can work any further with you on this piece, yeah, because I think, mm-hmm, now we're going to be producing exactly the same answers.
Mm-hmm. Another grey area is artificial intelligence and how can students use it responsibly and with integrity. What are your thoughts as a staff member?
Artificial intelligence, mm-hmm, has been probably a big concern,
yeah,
around how students are using those tools ethically. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is an area that needs a lot more focus, mm-hmm, not just on academic integrity, but more so how we can integrate artificial intelligence into the teaching and learning process so that students know how to use these technologies ethically and effectively for their learning.
When we're learning, do we really want a homogenous society that all thinks and feels the same about an,
yeah,
issue? So I worry that our growing dependence on generative AI, mm-hmm, is going to produce graduates that actually don't know anything when they,
yeah,
when they get to the workplace,
yeah,
without checking with chat.
Yeah, we're at a point now that this age of AI where it's really important to teach students how to engage in that critical information analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So getting students to understand, you know, looking at the outputs that Gen AI will produce and getting them to understand whether those outputs are appropriate for what they have been tasked with. I don't think that there's a hard and fast rule at the moment as,
yeah,
to what limits you can use AI. I think it comes down to the course coordinator, it comes down to the discipline,
mm-hmm,
and ultimately it comes down to what the learning objectives of that task,
yeah,
are. And that's where the educator has to make those critical decisions about how can I use AI in,
mm-hmm,
this scenario.
Yeah. To close off, do you have any other last tips for students regarding academic integrity?
I think academic integrity, it's an evolving space. It's quite exciting. To me, it comes down to relationships and building those partnerships with students. And that to me, is what's really important. Mm. And making sure that the students have voice, that they have that ability to share their experiences.
Yeah.
Just keep talking to your teachers. If anything, I find in my 10 plus years of being an AIO, when I often meet with students, a lot of the time I find the students that I meet may not be engaging so much,
mm-hmm,
in the learning process. Maybe they haven't been attending classes or maybe they've, you know,
mm-hmm,
again, as I said a while ago, it always comes down to that those contextual factors. There might,
yeah,
be a reason why they can't engage, but...
Yeah.
If there is something that is making study challenging for you, or if you're really pressed to meet a deadline, please talk about it with your teachers.
Yeah.
We're all human. We know life gets,
mm-hmm,
hard. It's busy. Life is busy. So talk with us. You know, let us know what's going on. Let us know how we can support you. And that really, that's actually the learning process too. You know, availing of the teachers' consultation times. That then is more evidence that you have been trying to engage with the learning process,
mm-hmm,
and that we've been trying to support you. So that would be my advice going forward.
Yeah. And Beck?
At the end of it, and I've had this wonderful experience with students, at the end of it on graduation day, you can hold up your parchment and you know, and the people that love you know, how hard you worked for that. And really that challenge and the hard work that you do is difficult and challenging,
mm-hmm,
because you did it.
Yeah.
You didn't outsource it. You didn't take shortcuts.
Yeah.
You invested in it.
Thank you for listening to the UniSA Study Room podcast, the podcast created by students for students. That concludes our final episode of the season, a deep dive into the world of academic integrity officers, their roles, and the misconceptions surrounding them. Remember, meeting with an AIO is not as daunting as it may seem. It presents an opportunity for education, growth, and transparency. Now, before we sign off, a friendly reminder. If you ever find yourself uncertain about matters concerning academic integrity or navigating that fine line of misconduct, take a moment to explore the resources available in your course sites. Familiarise yourself with the helpful tools and guidelines provided, because knowledge is the key to maintaining integrity. It has been a pleasure to present to you the Study Room podcast. A big thank you to all our guests this season and the creative team behind the scenes. If you enjoyed today's discussion, don't forget to tune into our other episodes and share this episode with a uni friend. If you have any questions about developing your academic or study skills, you'll find some great resources on the Study Help website. You can also speak with a friendly learning advisor. Just book an appointment. Until next time, happy studying.